IB English Radio. Thank you very much for listening to us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
If you're interested to know about history, culture, family, politics, religion, art, etc., you wouldn't want to miss the chance to tune into the VIRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en. Savior.
Oh, the Savior of mankind, please show us the sign.
To the designer of the human civilization that is established on the unity of Almighty Allah.
Light of Allah, you are our true guide.
To the redeemer of human volition and thought.
We're waiting for you to be by your side.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his immaculate progeny. Dear brothers and sisters all over the world, dear listeners, Assalamu alaikum and welcome to another episode from series of The Last Savior from IRIB English Radio. In this series of shows, we are trying to talk about, or let's say answer, some doubts or misconceptions on the important issue of Mahdaviya or Mahdism. For this, we have invited, as usual, Sheikh Murtada Karimi from Qom Seminary Schools to answer our questions that we pose here. The question that we want to ask from his presence is about the reappearance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam and the events that will happen after his reappearance. Sheikh Murtada, assalamu alaikum and welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum assalam and thank you for having me.
Many thanks, Sheikh, for accepting the invitation to this show. The question of the day, again, on the series of doubts and misconceptions on the concept of Mahdavi or Mahdism, is where the questioner starts to compare between the Holy Prophet Imam Mahdi alayhi salam and claim that Imam Mahdi alayhi salam is more comprehensive, more perfect than the Holy Prophet al-Iyad billah. This is just again to spread the seed of discord in the Islamic Ummah, to say that those who believe on the advent of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, they believe that Mahdi is more perfect, is something else, and the Prophet failed to be like him, al-'iyadu billah. And we take refuge to God, and we want to say that at least any Muslim should not have such a thing in his mind. We believe that all the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam are kullun nurun wahid. All of them are the same light. What is the source and the root of such a doubt and misconception?
This misconception is rooted in two categories of the narrations. Mm-hmm. According to this Wahhabi scholar, we know that we have the verse in the Noble Book of Quran, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, "Huwallazi arsala rasulahu bil huda wa dinil haqq." It is he, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who sent his prophet, referring to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with guidance and the true religion, "liyuzhirahu ala ad-din kullih," so that Allah make it, that is the religion, or make him, that is the prophet, inshallah I will explain about that, prevalent over all the other religions, وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ, even if the polytheists dislike. So the first claim of this Wahhabi scholar is that, according to Shia sources, it will happen only at the time of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. So the Holy Prophet was not able to do لِيُزْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ, to remove all the other religions and make the religion of Islam the only religion of the world. It will happen at the time of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. So he concludes that that is why Mahdi is considered as more perfect than all the prophets, including Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is the first reason.
Yeah.
The second reason is that he says that, according to Shia sources, the knowledge of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam is much more than the knowledge of all the prophets. For example, Abu Abdullah, that is Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, is quoted as saying, knowledge has 27 parts. What has been brought by all the prophets is only 2 parts of it. And when Imam Mahdi alayhi salam reappears, he will bring the remaining 25 parts. So he concludes that the Holy Prophet was not able to make Islam the only religion of the world, but Mahdi will do that. And the knowledge of Mahdi is much more than the knowledge of all the prophets, including Prophet Muhammad. So the conclusion is that Mahdi must be more perfect than the prophet. So the conclusion is from himself, but he refers to two types and two categories
of
the narration.
So in both hadiths that you mentioned, Sheikh, we cannot find the conclusion from the tongue of an infallible person.
Not at all.
Okay, so this is just merely his own conclusion of the writer.
Wherever you be, I'll be with you, 'cause you're the one, my heart is to meet you.
Suppose we can give this chance to the writer, to the thinker, to make his own conclusion. Can such a thing be concluded from these two hadiths?
Not at all.
Okay,
first of all, as you mentioned, as Shia, we all believe that because of many reasons in the Quran and narrations that no one can be compared to our Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and his family. He is the most complete and perfect human being on the earth. And Imams, even Imam Ali alayhi salam, are for sure lower in status than the Prophet, peace be upon him, and his family.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the first answer is that, according to Sunni sources, the Holy Prophet was not able to reach all his goals. And I think all Muslims agree on that. Now, the point is that when we talk about the greatness of a person, sometimes we have a great person with very lofty and high goals and purposes, but because of some obstacles, he is not able to reach those goals. Does it mean that that man is not perfect? Not at all. So the Holy Prophet had many goals. He had many purposes.
Yeah.
But because of some obstacles, because of the fact that people were not ready for those goals, the Holy Prophet was not able to reach all the goals. But he provided the ground for the coming generations.
Yeah.
So if the Holy Prophet has these goals, but people, they do not help the Prophet reach those goals, doesn't mean that there is a shortcoming in the Prophet.
It's as if to say the Prophet knew he had no problem, but so we can compare it to the time of the Prophet.
Exactly, very
he
good
did his message. He did his message, and he did whatever he could, but the people did not come to him. So this is not the problem of the Prophet Nuh.
Exactly. Now, talking about the verse, وَالَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَى وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ لِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ, which is in chapter At-Tawbah, verse 33. We see that many Sunni scholars, they have interpreted the verse like the Shia scholars. This Wahhabi scholar claimed that لِيُزْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ, the fact that Islam will be the only religion of the world, will happen at the time of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. We see that the same has been mentioned by many Sunni scholars. because they have seen that it didn't happen at the time of the Prophet. At the time of the Prophet, we had many other religions, but it doesn't mean that there was something, there is a deficiency in the personality of the Prophet, Na'udhu Billah. Mm-hmm. The problems, the obstacles were done by the people.
Very true.
Now, let me share some of the viewpoints of Sunni scholars. A few Sunni scholars, I have found only one, maybe there are others, but only I've seen Muhammad ibn Aziz Shafi'i. He believed that this promise, Yuzhirahu ala ad-din kulli, happened at the time of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his family. But many Sunni scholars, they say that this divine promise was realized after the demise of the Prophet. I can mention, for example, Jassas, Qurtubi, Baqilani. For example, Jassas says that Liyuzhirahu ala ad-din kulli is one of the, what we call it, the knowledge of the unseen of the Prophet.
Mm-hmm.
Because it didn't happen at the time of the Prophet. But the Holy Prophet is talking about future. And one of the reasons that we believe in prophethood of Prophet Muhammad is that Liyuzhirahu ala ad-din kulli happened after the time of the Prophet. So it was a knowledge of the unseen mentioned by the Prophet, because at his time we had Judaism, Christians, polytheists, but later Muslims, maybe he is referring to the time of the Caliphs, Muslims were able to defeat all these people and realize this divine promise.
Very true.
And again, Qurtubi mentions the same in his Tafsir, volume 1, page 74. For example, he says that when the first Caliph Abu Bakr, he was sending his troops, he was reciting the same verse. So you see here the Sunni scholars, they are saying the same. Can we claim that Abu Bakr is more perfect than the Prophet because of these narrations in Sunni sources? Because the Holy Prophet was not able to realize this divine source, but for example, Abu Bakr or the second or the third caliphs, they were able to do so? Not at all. No Sunni scholars believe in this.
Please send any suggestion, any idea to our email, that is englishradio@irib.ir.
And the third group of the Sunni scholars believe that it didn't happen at the time of the caliphs as well. It will happen after the coming of Jesus with Imam Mahdi alayhi salam in Akhir al-Zaman. There are many Sunni scholars who believe in this, like Ibn Abbas, Mujahid, Suddi, Samarqandi, Sam'ani, among the contemporary ones, Alusi, and many other Sunni scholars. For example, Ibn Abbas is quoted as saying, لِيُزْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ refers to the time when Jesus alayhi salam will come, and we know that it is at the time of the reappearance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, according to the Shia, and coming of Mahdi according to the Sunnis. When Jesus comes, there is no one on the earth except that they will convert to the religion of Islam. Maybe the reason Jesus is mentioned is that most of the people are Christians. They see Jesus, and they see that Jesus is following Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, and that is why they will also follow Imam Mahdi alayhi salam.
Mm-hmm.
There are many other Sunni scholars. I can quote Ibn Abi Hatam Razi in his Tafsir, volume 6, page 1786, Sam'ani in his Tafsir, volume 2, page 304. And Alusi says that when it comes to the word liyuzhirahu ala ad-din kulli, we have the pronoun liyuzhirahu, who can refer to the Prophet and can refer to the religion.
Mm-hmm.
But he says that most of the scholars believe that it is referring to the religion.
Mm-hmm.
And the religion of Islam was not the only religion at the time of the Prophet, so it will happen in future. Also, Ibn al-Jawzi and many others. So you see many, or we can say most of the Sunni scholars, they believe that the divine promise in Liyuzhirahu ala ad-din kulli will happen after the coming of Jesus and Mahdi alayhi salam. So to accuse Shia that they believe that this will be realized at the time of Imam Mahdi, and that is why Mahdi is superior to the Prophet, is baseless.
In case this person wants to find the reality, I think it's not bad to check different sources from Shia and Sunni and see if there is a convergence in this issue that most of the scholars believe in such a thing. And this is not a matter of, let's say, discrepancy among them. Many thanks, Sheikh Martella, for your explanations.
There are two remaining points that, inshallah, I will share in the following session. Yes.
So, inshallah, we shall continue this discussion in our upcoming session, where we want to actually complete this comparison that was made between the Holy Prophet, Imam Mahdi, alayhi salam, and the person who raised the doubt, mentioned that the Shias, or the followers of the school of Ahlul Bayt, believed that Imam Mahdi was most perfect than the Holy Prophet, and this series of shows tried to say that this understanding of the hadith is not true. Okay, thank you very much for your staying tuned and listening to us. Wassalamu alaikum.
In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. O Allah, protect your representative, Al-Hujjab bin al-Hasan, Imam al-Mahdi, and send salutation upon him and his ancestors, now as well as all the times. Be his guardian, protector, guide, and assistance. Help him in his path and be watchful for him till you let him rule over the earth willingly and cause him to live in it for a long time.
A 22-meter-high sand sculpture in Denmark has set a new Guinness record as the world's tallest sandcastle. The sculpture has been constructed with nearly 5 tons of sand. It's made in the shape of a triangle, and a wood structure stabilizes it. More than 30 artists from different countries have worked on the project, carving intricate details on the castle's wall. Its makers say a nod to the coronavirus pandemic was also made at the top of that construction. They say that's because the virus has controlled the lives of people over the past months. The sand piece broke the previous Guinness record that belonged to an 18-meter-high sand castle in Germany. An adorable baby elephant has become a web celebrity after she was caught on camera using a muddy hill as playground slide. Footage shows the little elephant excitedly approaching a hill with a smooth path leading downward. The baby then goes on all fours to have the time of her life sliding on her belly down the hill, taking full advantage of rain. The toddler, named Yishong, is only 3 years old. She lives at a rescue center in China, one of the major habitats for wild Asian elephants in the country.
A French company has taken the process of pizza making to a whole new level by creating a robot chef. The robot named Patsy is completely autonomous. The machine, now working in a pizzeria in Paris, is capable of taking orders, making a pizza from scratch and serving it. Having three arms, the robot can make 120 pizzas in an hour, which is 13 times faster than a human chef.
We are in a very fast process with a perfect control of time and quality, since we have a constancy offered by robotics and then an environment that is quite cool and relaxed. The idea is also to spend a few pleasant minutes washing the robot while you wait for your pizza to be made.
It took designers 8 years to develop the machine, which is claimed to be the first pizza-making robot in the world. They hope to use the technology to open robotics-run restaurants that can function round the clock. In China, scientists are happy that the world's first artificially bred leaf monkey is doing well 2.5 months after being born. The rare monkey was born at a research and protection center in Wuzhou City in April. Its birth took place several days earlier than the due date, and the baby was relatively weak at birth. However, thanks to its parents and caretakers, it has grown in a normal way. Scientists say the baby monkey is now in a good condition and its behavior is totally normal.
It is very important in terms of the cytic value. It has been growing up normally. In addition, we have found that it has a curiosity about the world and always shows some exploratory and learning behaviors. In general, it is in very good physical condition.
The center's scientists say another leaf monkey that was born in April is doing well too. These monkeys are the 8th generation of leaf monkeys that have been bred in captivity. Their successful births have raised hope amongst the scientists of saving the species that is one of China's most endangered wild animals. Imagine the hungriest you've ever been. How many hot dogs could you possibly gobble down in 10 minutes? An American man has done 76. Professional eater Joey Chestnut broke the world record in the International Hot Dog Eating Contest on Brooklyn's Coney Island. The 37-year-old managed to devour the first 30 hot dogs in only 3 minutes. The impressive win marked his 14th victory at the annual contest. He held the previous record, which was only one sausage sandwich, less than his 2021 record. Astronauts at China's space station have successfully carried out the country's first spacewalk. Two astronauts exited the core module of Tiangong to examine the station's robotic arm. They also elevated a panoramic camera and tested new generation spacesuits. The mission lasted 7 hours. According to the China Manned Space Agency, another spacewalk will be conducted soon. In June, three Chinese astronauts blasted off to become the first crew of the Tiangong station. They will remain there for 3 months. Lionel Messi is one of the most popular football players with millions of fans from across the world, but the legendary player enjoys special love and affection in his hometown. Local artists at Rosario relished the chance to honor Messi in a mural on a four-story building. The 14-meter-high and 8-meter-wide giant artwork stands opposite of the school Messi attended in his childhood. The mural depicts him as both an adult and a child. Messi had been the top scorer in European football leagues multiple times. He also received the world's best player award for a record 6 times. The 34-year-old currently holds the Argentinian national team's captaincy. Pangolins might look tough with their scaly armor, but they are in fact highly vulnerable animals. A Vietnamese man is dedicating his time and energy to making sure they are safe. 39-year-old Thai has been protecting pangolins since his boyhood when he saw one brutally hunted by his neighbors. The bitter experience inspired him to find or make a group devoted to saving the endangered species. Save Vietnam's Wildlife has over 60 staff and has so far rescued around 1,600 pangolins. Thai says seeing the rescued animals return to nature is the best part of his job.
The most wonderful moments in the lives of all of the conservationists at my center are the moments that we witness the rescued pangolins getting out from the transportation cages and slowly walking into the forest, because the forest is their true home where they can have the joy of living their lives in their own way.
Pangolins are one of the most trafficked mammals in the world. Their number have fallen due to illegal trade. The animals, now critically endangered, could once be found in the rainforests across Asia and Africa. They use their sticky tongues to hunt for ants, termites, and similar prey. People around the world have their unique ways of celebrating events. In Nepal, farmers and locals celebrate National Paddy Day by jumping into muddy fields. The festival marks the start of the annual rice planting season. People joyfully sing and play in muddy water. Another popular tradition on this day is eating a mixture of curd and beaten rice with friends and family. The fun event usually draws many tourists from around the world. However, this year, it is limited only to locals due to the coronavirus pandemic. Rice is the most important crop in Nepal and accounts for almost half of the cereal production in the country. Pandemic has not stopped this British musician from holding live concerts. His audience is a very special group in Danish rural areas. Jacob Shaw, a university professor, is the man behind this experiment. He says playing for the animals has been his second best option after the pandemic forced the cancellation of many events and social gatherings. Shaw says the performance for the cows has been so rewarding that he wants to continue it even after public spaces are reopened. He says the cows seem to enjoy classical music very much.
They react differently to different pieces. We've played something that was slightly more upbeat, a little bit more modern, and a lot of them didn't like it and they went away. And I think that the type of pieces which is closer to their voice, closer to their mooing, which could be similar actually to a cello, which is why it's so successful with them, they prefer that.
The cello player is sometimes accompanied by other musicians. They say the experience has helped them practice and also relieve some of the stress of a live concert.
The Light is a short bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Science fiction has turned into reality, or at least that's how the developer of Aircar describes his vehicle when it transforms from a car into an aircraft in less than 3 minutes. This prototype flying car was designed and created by Slovakian transportation professor Stefan Klein. He says that his design opens a new category in transportation. The dual-mode vehicle composed a 35-minute flight in this week between the two Slovakian airports. So far, it has completed more than 40 hours of test flight. Aircar can fly about 1,000 kilometers at a height of over 2,500 meters. That makes the dream of those who wish to ride above traffic closer to reality. A digital art museum in the Japanese capital has unveiled a stunning exhibition offering visitors an intimate interaction with nature. One of the attractions of the show is Floating Flower Garden, which is a mirrored room filled with 13,000 orchid flowers. The orchids are dangling from the ceiling and move up once a visitor walks through in the space and approaches the flowers. Once the visitors move past the flowers, descend again. This makes the visitors able to freely wander around the three-dimensional flower mass space. Tokyo-based digital art group Team Lab that runs this exhibition says the artwork is designed to help people think that they are part of the garden.
This is an installation filled with these flowers. As you walk towards them, the flowers slowly move up to create an area of space for you. Surrounded so completely by flowers, you feel immersed in the flowers, the garden itself.
There are several other installations in this exhibition. One is an outdoor piece filled with Ovid sculptures that light up after the sun sets. Visitors can see 61 different colors of light in this section. When one of the Ovids tipped over by a hand or the wind, it emits a sound. The sound is then echoed by the surrounding Ovids. In a school in the Ukrainian capital, kids learn about saving the environment and helping those in need through a creative way. Students put plastic bottles in a machine as currency. Then they can select what they would like to spend money on. Buying food for stray animals and donating to children with special needs are some of the choices. The project was first launched in a mall in Kiev a few months ago. Afterwards, the designers found out that children were the most frequent users of this machine.
A child drops a bottle inside and sees an immediate result. It brings joy and happiness, and everyone is excited and wants the project to thrive.
The founders seek to install more and more machines in schools across Ukraine to raise environmental awareness among younger generations. Since the start of the project in October last year, over 5 tons of plastic has been collected from 6 machines.
India is known not only for its cultural diversity, but also for a vibrant assortment of uncountable dishes. Butter chicken is the only one delight you wouldn't like to miss while visiting Indian restaurants, especially if it is prepared by a celebrity chef like Saransh Goyla. Goyla's coal-fired oven is now sending a mouth-watering scent through India's commercial hub, Mumbai, as the young chef takes a break from COVID-19 relief efforts and resumes work. He is the one who established the first global butter chicken brand and authored the acclaimed food travelogue, India on My Platter. But with the coronavirus forcing people into isolation, his networks were also hit. So Goyla launched a non-profit platform called COVID Meals for India in April to connect thousands of volunteer home cooks and frontline workers.
The pandemic had a large impact on our business. Having said that, Goyla Butter Chicken from the start was always focused on deliveries and takeaway. So in that sense, our loss of revenue and a loss of business was slightly lesser than an average restaurant. But a lot of my friends, restaurateurs who are in this industry have gone through an extremely tough time. The pandemic has taken its toll on our industry, and I think it has set us back by at least a couple of years.
Goyla found his calling early, winning a televised cooking competition at the age of 25, which led him to host a travel program showcasing regional Indian cuisine. His profile exploded in 2018 when he was invited by former MasterChef Australia judge George Kalambaris to be a guest on the hit show, with contestants asked to recreate his signature dish.
Graduation is an exciting moment for all schoolgoers, but the occasion turns more joyful if it ends with a celebration like Scarlet Sales Festival, which is held in St. Petersburg in Russia at the end of the school year. The annual event is part of the famous White Nights Festival, traditionally held in summer, with spectacular fireworks, numerous music concerts, and a massive water show. Normally, thousands of domestic and foreign tourists flock to the city to watch the colorful event. But this year, the COVID-19 pandemic limited the number of the attendees. The festival began in the 1960s when several Russian schools united to celebrate the end of the academic year. That is in connection with the symbolism of the popular 1922 children's book, Scarlet Sails, by Alexander Grimm.
Supplication is the wealth of the believer and the bridge by which one achieves proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the exalted.
A path to salvation, a way to connect the two worlds. On the program, Bridge.
You're listening to the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Muhammad Mahmoud Khalfan, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وبه نستعين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين سلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, welcome once again to yet another episode of The Bridge, a program in which we try to discuss the different supplications of Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam, supplications that have come in the form of a prayer manual known as As-Sahifatu As-Sajjadiyya. We have been discussing, and we just began discussing, the eighth supplication of this prayer manual. Obviously, we are in the introductory discussions, and we mentioned the importance of what we call At-Takhliya, and that is self-purification, before a person beautifies himself with the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala according to his level and according to his capacity, and go further to the higher levels of perfection. So when we were discussing this, we mentioned a very important anecdote that Mawlana in his Mathnavi mentions, and that is about Roman and Chinese painters. Both of them said that they were better painters, and they were given the opportunity to paint for a certain duration, and a wall was placed for each of them, and in between that wall a curtain was placed, and they were told, whatever kind of brushes you need, whatever kind of colors you need, come and tell us and we are going to provide for you, but you make the best you can so that we can judge who is better. After a certain duration, or after the duration that was set by the king of the time, the king came and the curtain was taken away. And first he looked at what the Chinese had done, and he was baffled, and he, you know, was overtaken by the beauty of what was presented by the Chinese painters. And when he saw that, he, you know, it was like, it was wonderful. But when he looked at what the Romans did, he saw that the Romans had only polished the whole thing where they had to paint. They hadn't started painting. But that polishing was so beautifully done that there was no taint, and it acted like a mirror that reflected the other painting in even better color and hues and so on, such that the reflection was even a better revelation of the painting than what was painted by the Chinese. And obviously they got the prize of the better painters. Rumi would like to give us actually an example that this is what we should be. We should try to, before painting our hearts with the beautiful characteristics of Allah, we should try to shine it and take all of the taints away, so that, you know, actually the heart reflects the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is what we should aspire.
ربنا
A path to salvation. A way to connect the two worlds.
The bridge between Allah and His creation.
A bridge that is meant to take us to Allah, to take us to His proximity. A bridge that is in the form of dua and supplication.
In this program, we offer commentary on the du'as of As-Sahifat As-Sajjadiyah of Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wasalam.
The famous book of litanies, the Psalms of Islam.
Bridge.
Rabbana.
Whenever we would like to go towards Allah. So the first station that, you know, we talk of is At-Tajliya. That means beautification of the apparent. We say that it refers to the apparent laws that have been legislated for the human beings to adhere to them, to refrain from what has been forbidden. And the second level is known as At-Takhliya that we are talking of in this dua. And thereafter is what is known as At-Tahliya means self-beautification. After you have cleaned yourself, and thereafter you come to the station of Fana, and Fana is that station whereby you come to realize that the only person who actually exists in the true sense of existence is Allah. And the others that you see, all the other things that you see are His self-disclosures. He is manifesting in those things. Therefore, the others are all mazahir, the losai of manifestation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they don't have any independent existence. They manifest the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now this realization comes about when a person has reached a very high level. So these are the four practical levels that the insightful scholars have mentioned. Obviously, there are different classifications, but in one classification, these are the four levels that are worthy of discussion. This was one thing that we wanted to mention.
Stay tuned to the IRIB English Radio.
Another important point is that if you look at this beautiful supplication, we start with what we call isti'adha, seeking refuge from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you notice, we start saying, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika, O Allah, I seek refuge with you. That means, I seek your refuge, O Allah. Here, the subtle fact is that you are seeking refuge of Allah's name, the name Allah itself, which is the all-comprehensive name. Sometimes you are saying, Allahumma, or Ya Rahmanu inni a'udhu bika, O the all-merciful, verily I seek your refuge. But here you are saying, Allahumma, O Allah, I seek your refuge. That means you are seeking refuge of Allah's names, all the names. This is an all-comprehensive name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is one of the best ways that a person can ever seek refuge of Allah. And notice, even in the Holy Quran, when we are told to seek refuge of Allah away from shaitan, we say, فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ Then seek refuge of Allah, not فَاسْتَعِذْ بِالرَّحْمَانِ or فَاسْتَعِذْ بِالرَّحِيمِ No, فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ That means with all the beautiful attributes, all the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى All the attributes of Jamal and Jalal, all these attributes, you are seeking refuge of Allah, of all these attributes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has away from shaitan. And that means a lot. That means, it, you know, in all dimensions, you are asking Allah to protect you in the dimension, in the personal dimension, in the social dimension, in the political dimension, in the economic dimension, all the dimensions. You are actually asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to equip you, to
to be powerful and to be protected from all the different calamities and all the different things that Shaitan would try to insinuate to you about in all the different dimensions. Inshallah, we'll continue with our discussion in our next session. We come to the end of the program. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa alihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin.
That was the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Khalfan, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Hargiz nagirat to abad aqa kasi jay to ra hargiz makhal az kaf dahan عشق و تولای تو را یا
سجاد. Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
There are a couple of scholars who came with the new ideas, who came with the better principles. And when they came up with those principles and better ideas, how to extract something out of the statement that we have, or what are the principles? Mirza Nain is one of those scholars.
It must be indicated that amongst the publications and works of the late Ayatollah Mirza Manat Hussein Gharavi Naini, his book Tanbih al-Ummah wa Tanzih al-Millah is very significant.
Surely we've wronged ourselves, what will we say in front of them?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the All Beneficent, the All Merciful. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is the teacher. I'm Atta, the host of this program. I have two guest speakers for my today's discussion in the program. The teacher, Dr. Muhammad Reza Fakhrohani, and Sayyid Mohsen Naghvi. Dr. Muhammad Reza Fakhrohani, a faculty member of the University of Qom. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. Thank you.
You're welcome. And Sayyid Mohsen Naghvi, an Islamic scholar from the Islamic House of Qom. Assalamu alaikum, brother, and welcome to your show.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thanks for inviting.
For today's discussion, we want to talk about the outstanding book of the late Mirza Naini, titled as Tanbih al-Ummah wa Tanzih al-Millah. I think the full title, which is in Arabic, and it was, of course, the content was written in Farsi or in Persian, is longer than this. Tanbih al-Ummah wa Tanzih al-Millah fi lazum al-mashrutiyat al-dawlat al-muntakhaba li-taqlil al-zulm ala afrad al-Ummah wa targhiyat al-mujtama'. This is the full title of the work, which is long, but it is mainly known in the academic fields of studies of Tanbih al-Ummah wa Tanzih al-Millah. Dr. Muhammad Reza Fakhrohani, let's talk a little bit about the title first and then get into the content and the reason why Mirza Naini wrote this book. Yes. What does the title mean?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bin as-Sain. First of all, Tanbih al-Ummah wa Tanzih al-Millah means informing the public, and purifying the nation. Okay, I mean, very briefly.
Okay.
Of course, the Arabic title is, I mean, longer than this. However, it must be indicated that compared with modern practices of titling books in the West, which consists of, I mean, title and subtitle, in the past, or perhaps even today, in some Shia religious academic councils and houses, it's current to, I mean, to phrase, I mean, the title of the books, I mean, in two ways.
Yes.
Okay, I mean, in such a way that, I mean, the first phrase is followed by another one, okay? Ela, be, le, or, I mean, for the purpose of, and so
That's
on,
right.
okay? Which can be translated as in terms of a colon, which, I mean, separates title and subtitles in Western titling practices. This is one point. Another point is that at that time, okay, especially, I mean, from the time of the Safavid dynasty up to almost the end of the Qajar period, it was a practice among ulemas to rotate the titles to phrase the titles of the books, mainly religious books, in Arabic.
That's right.
Because this is because, not because the Arabic language is regarded as a sacred language, I mean, because of the Holy Quran, and, I mean, it needs a separate discussion in this regard. However, this is because a great number of important books written, at least, I mean, in the Middle Eastern regions up to the, I mean, stretching eastward to the Indian regions, we find that a great number of important books have been written mainly, I mean, with the titles in Arabic. I mean, if I'm not mistaken, and I should like to ask dear brother, Mr. Naqvi, to correct me, I mean, my statement, that even today, I guess some of the, I mean, Urdu books may bear, I mean, Arabic titles. Especially in the fields of Islamic studies. However, the content and the main text of the books are, the book of the late Mirza Naini is in Persian.
That's right.
But the type of Persian used at that time was a Persian commingled, I mean, with Arabic phrases, mainly, I mean, phrases from the fiqh or from, I mean, usul or, for example, Quranic studies and so on.
What was the main reason for writing this book? I mean, why the nation, I mean, should be, as you said, informed?
Yes.
Why the nation should be informed? And why the millah, I mean, again, the nation, or must be purified? From what? I mean, from the despotism of the time, from the imperialism, and the constitutional revolution in Iran helped Mirza Naini to write this book. What was the main reason, brother?
The reason is that, from a Quranic perspective, Ummah means religious community, religious community of Muslims. Okay. And it must be said that it's in fact a borderless religious community. I mean, religious communities as, I mean, separated and restricted within political borders,
That's
as
right.
we recognize today, okay? However, at that time, we find that in the time of the Qajar dynasty, there were some, I mean, movements, and that movement was initiated by political cultural transactions between, I mean, Persians and the Western world, okay? Some Iranian, I mean, students who went to European countries, mainly France, and some of them to England, and after they got back, returned to Iran, okay, one of the, first achievements was that, okay, they tried to picture, to portray what they noticed in the West, okay?
That's right.
And part of the, I should like to say that part of the problems that they recognized to be, at least in Persia, as well as in other Muslim lands, was because of being rather backward in terms of knowledge and technology, because, I mean, they compared the technological state and condition of Muslim lands in contrast to European countries.
That's
okay?
right.
One of the reasons was that they came to the point that so long as, I mean, despotism was the ruling political philosophy in Muslim lands, mainly in Persia, there wouldn't be any escape. In order to escape from that, I mean, dead end, it was suggested to the ulama, okay, that they should do something because, I mean, in contrast to intellectuals and university graduates, okay, who have still very limited followers in Muslim lands, especially nowadays in Iran, okay, great ulama have been enjoying to have many followers, both among the public and, I mean, the common people, as well as among the intellectuals. The reason was that the late Mirza Naini developed his book mainly in two frames. One of them rejection of despotism, and another one as a solution.
Yes.
He put forward that the elites of the community, the learned people of the community,
okay,
should get together and should place rules in order to guide everything. And one of the important points, observable in his book is that, similar to the political divisions, or divisions of powers, for example, the parliament, in contrast to, for example, other aspects of other, for example, judiciary.
The legislative, judiciary and the executive powers.
Powers, yes.
That's right.
He has sketched almost the same thing in his book, mm-hmm, but all of them, were phrased, by means of using, for example, terms and
mm-hmm,
idioms, terms and concepts, taken from Islamic studies.
Islamic studies, very good,
and
very good.
In this regard, it must mm-hmm be said that the work of the late Mirza Naini can be regarded as a magnum opus of political philosophy as viewed from a Shi'i perspective.
A Shi'i perspective.
Yes.
Thank you very much, Dr. Fakhwani, really beautifully put by you. Said Mohsen Naghvi, so for a Shia scholar to write such a book, and it seems that, on that time, most of the scholars and the ulama were concerned with fiqh, usul al-fiqh, maybe sometimes the rulings of the economics among the markets or something like that. But all of a sudden, a sheikh, an ayatollah, a faqih, is going to write such a book, which is considered with the different powers in the society, how the parliament must act, what are the characteristics of a ruler, okay? So it must be very much different, isn't it?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Yes, that's true. And before I enter into what you ask, a bit clarification about the name of the book,
mm-hmm,
which is Tanbihu al-Ummah wa Tanzihu al-Millah. This tanbih is from Imba, as brother has mentioned, Dr.
Fakhruhani.
That it is to inform. Tanbih is from Imba. Tanbihul Ummah means that informing the Ummah about the rules of Sharia.
Okay.
This book is basically titled at Tanbihul Ummah, so that the Ummah, by reading this book, will know about the basic rulings of the Sharia law or rules. You know, in the banks we have Sharia. We can say like rules and the Islamic bankings and all those. So for those who are living in the West, it's very clear. Because when we talk about the Islamic banking, there is a Sharia committee and the rulings are according to the Sharia.
Okay.
So this book is about to inform about the rulings of Sharia. On the other hand, it says, وَتَنْزِيهُ الْمِلَّةِ Tanzih is from munazza, from freeing someone from something.
That's right.
تَنْزِيهُ الْأُمَّةِ means freeing the ummah, the nation from ilhad, from bringing, partners for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
That's right.
For doing a shirk, for example, or becoming an atheist. These are the terms, basically, which were hidden in this book. And in this book we see.
لَتَقْلِيلِ الظُّلْمِ is also among, in the title.
These were added, لِتَقْلِيلِ الظُّلْمِ, like to minimize the ظُلْم. Now, here, ظُلْم can be as a sin.
Mm-hmm.
We say ظَلَمْتُ نَفْسِي ظُلْمًا كَثِيرًا فَغْفِرْ لِي. Did I do unjust to myself? This unjust is the sin that I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
The ummah commits a sin. It's not only about the oppression. It's about the sin that we commit.
Okay.
So when it says that to minimize the لِتَقْلِيدِ الظُّلْمْ عَلَى أَفْرَادِ الْأُمَّةِ, this is like, we need to make their minds clear about the rulings.
That's right.
About what kind of system we have,
mm-hmm,
or the political system that we have. And after that, obviously, they will be free from the dhulm and all those things. Why I said this is what it means,
that's
is because,
right,
when you look at the chapters that it has come, for example, in chapter number one, he talks about the government in the Islam.
Mm-hmm.
What is a government in the Islam? There he talks about the governorship, and he says the authority is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yes.
And after that, he gave that wilaya, or the authority, to the imam,
that's
or
right,
the prophet, like okay, prophet or the imam.
So this is absolutely a Shia perspective.
It is absolutely
okay,
Shia perspective.
Okay, based on Shia perspective,
yes,
okay.
He says, on the basis of the Quran, on the basis of Islamic teachings, we know that the authority is with the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he gives the authority to the next person. Like, the way we have in the Quran that, Atiullahu wa Atiur Rasul wa Ulil Amri Binkum.
That's right.
or it is said like the Allah is your wali, is the close guardian or authority, wa rasulihi wal mu'minin, and the mu'minin who, you know, we have the verse who gives a God when they're in the state of the ruku, which is about Imam Ali alayhi salam. So he refers to these, you know, evidences